I'm Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. And yes, indeed, it is Friday. November 18th, says the calendar, and I am here live in the studio. And also the fund drive, you may have heard that pre-recorded fund drive encouragement. And yes, here's a live fund drive encouragement. If you'd like to support Valley Free Radio, you can call and make a pledge. Or you know what, it's actually easier if you just go online to valleyfreeradio.org and donate. But if you want to call to make a pledge, I'm in the studio. I'd be happy to talk to you if I'm playing a recorded clip, which I'll get to that soon. For today's show, I have lots of recorded clips. I've still got clips from my October trip to Kentucky, and a lot of which are my travels on the bus. This was from Chicago to London, Kentucky, and then the return from Knoxville on up to, I guess it really only took the bus to Charlottesville, and then I switched to the train. But I have some Greyhound stories, some of which are better than others, but we all the passengers on that bus made it, despite some, let's just say there was a loaded gun. Now I gave it all away. So for today's show, speaking of buses and things, first I just want to announce that the Pioneer Valley Transit Authority is making free fares. Well, I guess the Massachusetts legislature made them free, but the bus is going to be free from November 25th, 2022 to December 31st, 2022. Yeah, try transit. Yeah, the Pioneer Valley Transit is, for me, it's like a magic bus. You can just like get on when it comes, and then you can think about anything in the world and then just be transported to your destination, and all you got to do is sit there. It's amazing.
This is Lima, Ohio. Lima, Ohio. You transfer going south. This is your stop. Indianapolis, Louisville, Kentucky, Atlanta, Georgia, and all points south. This is your transfer point. Lima, Ohio.
That bus driver said he was the first black guy that Chippendales hired. Chippendale. He was 23. He's 71 now. I wouldn't have thought he was a day over 60. That conversation came up because at one of the rest stops, I said, geez, I'm cold out here. I feel like I'm not wearing anything. I was wearing like two sweatshirts and long underwear and long pants and a hat. And he said, well, that's because you're so thin. You got nothing to keep you warm. And he said, I used to be thin like that and muscular like that. Back in the day, people don't believe it, but anyway, that's how that conversation came up. And then I was like, yeah, well, I'm older than I look, and I'm menopausal or postmenopausal, and I'm telling you what, I appreciate having hot flashes. It's the only thing that keeps me warm. That was how we got to talk about age and stuff like that. That was a driver from Miller Transportation Company. They stop in lots of little small towns going through Indiana and Ohio. Now I switch to Greyhound. Now I switch to Greyhound to go south to Kentucky. Well, it was pitch dark when the bus got into Lima, even though it was like 5:45 or 6 in the morning, and I was trying to figure out which direction is which. You know, you wake up after an overnight bus ride and you wake up when the bus stops somewhere and you just feel like you've been driving around in circles all night. Anyway, it's hard to tell. There's so much light pollution. I couldn't see any beginning of dawn yet. But despite the light pollution, I was able to see Orion. There's Orion dancing across the southern sky. Now I can tell I'm headed east, because I want to walk into the sunrise, because I got a 3-hour layover, at least 3 hours. Oh wow, no wonder I feel cold. I just bent down to wipe my apple off and my hands off in the dewy grass, and it's actually a little bit crispy there, like frosty grass. It was sunny and 70 in Chicago yesterday. I thought my blood just hadn't thickened up. Well, obviously it hasn't, but it is actually cold too. October 4th, Feast of St. Francis Day. This is the first frost I've felt this year. Well, the bank thermometer five blocks into the middle of town said the temperature is 44 degrees, which is what I kind of thought it felt more like, but I'm pretty sure those grasses were frozen, some of them, like patchy frost. You can tell it's cold because I can't even talk right. My lips a little froze. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie Woodring, your host. I hope it's not me talking too much. I'm playing some clips of some monologues from October, my last trip to Kentucky on the bus, one of my frequent every few months trips to Kentucky to see family. This is WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton, and it's Fun Drive. We appreciate all our listeners that donate to keep the station on the air, because we don't get like big funding, and we're super frugal with what we do get. It's all volunteer run, and in fact, I pay to have a show. So you can go to valleyfreeradio.org/donate to make a contribution and support this station that has all kinds of unique voices, music shows, like local voices from people that do advocacy for people labeled with mental illness, to the local food movement, to alternative health and wellness practitioners, to trash haulers. Lots of these people are on the air. And please support us and what we do, and also to help the station pay for the syndicated shows as well. If you don't have money, you're also welcome to be part of our community of listeners. But if in the future you can make a contribution, we appreciate it. I think I'll have a little musical interlude. This is Jonathan Richman. You're crazy for taking the bus.
Well, a welfare gal and a drunk galoot, and nobody wearing a three-piece suit. You meet folks this way, just don't see why flying. So you take the plane, but I'll take the bus this time. Well, welfare gal and her drunken cuss, and Pepsi cans rolling around the bus, and newspapers and grit, and you've got slime. So you take the plane, but I'll take the bus this time. Where it's Salt Lake City, everybody off. Salt Lake City, everybody off with Elko, Wells, and Reno down the line. So you take the plane, but I'll take the bus this time. But Jonathan,
you're crazy for taking the bus.
Well, I'm crazy, so what's the fuss?
2 whole days on that stinking bus.
Yes, and I sleep fine. So you take the plane, and I'll take the bus this time. Go, Donnie, tell him. Look at it this way. They don't want my name, and I don't want their baggage claim. My guitar is seated right where I'm. So you take the plane, but I'll take the bus this time. Well, you got the old fat guy in his old tank top, the Wendover casino stop, and then of course Winnemucca and Wells and Anaheim. So you take the plane, but I'll take the bus this time. When it's Salt Lake City, everybody up. Salt Lake City, everybody off with Elko, Wells, and Reno down the line. So you take the plane, I'll take the bus this time. But Jonathan,
you're crazy for taking the bus.
Well, I'm crazy. crazy, so what's the fuss?
2 whole days on that stinking bus.
Yeah, and I sleep fine. So you take the plane, but I'll take the bus this time.
All right, my next clip here on Out There is continuing. I'm on the Greyhound going from Lima to London, Kentucky. Nothing's really open yet that I can find, but there's a radio station in the downtown square. The radio station's always open.
This is WEGE Lima, the Bob and Tom Show on 104.9 The Eagle.
Here's a screen printing shop in downtown Lima, and as some of the sample work that they do, no, this isn't sample work. This is actually a sign in the window that has the outline of the shape of the state of Ohio with the American flag with the black and white with a blue stripe in the middle, and it says in big letters, "Bless the blue." And then underneath it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Matthew 5:9. There's a lot of trains in this town. I feel like I've been hearing trains nonstop for the last 45 minutes on a couple of different rail lines. If I knew which one to hop, I bet I could take it south, straight south to Corbin, Kentucky. I've seen CSX trains, and that's the CSX yard there in Corbin on the way to Knoxville. Here's the marquee at antique store downtown. It says, "Never judge others for losing a battle you never had to fight." And there's a sign outside the Rite Aid that says, "Get your free flu shot here." And then in small letters it says, "And catch up on your other vaccines." Doesn't say anything specifically about the COVID-19 vaccine or booster.
Right next to the restroom behind that last seat on the right side rail, there's a hole right behind that seat. That's a garbage can. Especially for things like bottles and cans. You know, if you bring them on the bus and you throw with them, please don't just lay them on the floor. What happens? They tend to roll forward. And if they get under the brake pedal, when we need the brake, there will be no brake. And that's not a good program, okay? That wouldn't work well for none of us, so kindly put them in the garbage can.
Finally leaving Lima, Ohio. So I finally made it to Kentucky, but at the house of a friend of my dad's. I'm here with my dad for a couple days, and this bedroom is very finely and artistically decorated, and it's quiet and all that. But it's almost like I miss my bus comrades. Last night was a long night on the bus, and today was a long day on the bus. I miss the guy sitting behind me who told me at a rest stop that he had gotten the bus in Detroit, but he had actually been in Lima. He had been in Lima for the last 3 months because he was coming up from Georgia, and he got stopped by the police and he got arrested. He had a gun in the car, and he ended up doing 3 months in jail in Lima. And he had just got out of jail, and his mom in Detroit had picked him up, and then he was back on the bus, headed back to Georgia. But yeah, I liked having him as my seatmate behind. He had a nice vibe. And then there's a guy in front of me who, for part of the ride, like, he was on his phone, like, all the time, like, the entire time he was talking on his phone to different people. He was video chatting because he had just got out of prison. So he was, like, catching up with people. And he had a really nice hairdo, tight cornrows or braids hairdo. Sorry, I'm ignorant on that one. Didn't know which is, well, if I'd really noticed, I could tell which is which. But, the white t-shirt and the gray sweats. Or the guy that was sitting beside me for a while who had all these bags. And when he walked, he could only take tiny little steps. And when he was waiting for the bus, he had these, like, TheraBand exercise cord things. And he was saying how he used to lift weights, but this was kind of like that, only they weren't as heavy to carry around. Mostly I just slept on the bus, though, because I had two seats to myself for most of the time. All right, listeners, the most, exciting traumatic, I'm not sure. The most tense bus story is yet to come, but I'm going to play... all right, I'm going to do this chronologically. See, this is my trip to Kentucky, and I played the bus once I got to Kentucky. Now, here's an interview with a friend that I met there, a friend of my brother's. He came to my family's place and went fishing. And we talked about fishing and his YouTube channel, Pakistani Outdoorsman. But the real question was, in the back of my mind, how does a guy from Islamabad come to Eastern Kentucky and marry a woman from Harlan?
My name is Saroj Heather, and I live in Williamsburg, Kentucky. I'm originally from Islamabad, Pakistan.
And Saroj works with my brother. I don't know, maybe that's classified information. but we're here in Shenandoah, Kentucky. We've been fishing. Well, Saroj has been fishing. Fishing is like, you're like a real fisherman here. You like to fish a lot. You do these YouTube videos, right?
I've just recently started doing the YouTube videos, but I started fishing about 3 years ago, and it started off seriously because I wanted food. So one of my friends, when I graduated, gifted me a really basic gear that I could start fishing with, and he taught me how to fish. So it's very near and dear to my heart.
Uh-huh. So where did you first go fishing?
We started fishing in Lower Lake, mm-hmm. which is about 30 minutes from where I live. Mm-hmm. And we fished local ponds here and there, mm-hmm. but we don't keep fish from there. Uh-huh. But whenever we went to Lower Lake, we kept all the fish that we could.
What kind of fish were you having?
Any that would bite, really. Largemouth, smallmouth. I've had both, and I'm still on the hunt for a walleye. Uh-huh. I've never had walleye. I know that are pretty hard to catch. You usually need a boat or a canoe or a kayak and go out in the middle of the lake and to catch them. Uh-huh. But they're on my list. I want to catch carp, which is a delicacy back home. I've had carp several times, but I've not caught it. Uh-huh. And I want to have crappie. Uh-huh. I've caught crappie, but I've never kept any. Uh-huh. Because I thought that they're just regular fish, but some people told me that they're some of the best tasting fish you could have, uh-huh. you know, including walleye. Uh-huh. So those two fish are on top of my list.
Uh-huh. So how did you get started doing the videos?
I was still in school, and I just thought that my life is really interesting and I should share it with other people. Mm-hmm. And I actually recorded on my phone the 3 years of my undergraduate, uh-huh. but I've never posted it online or whatever. I've never even showed it to people. Uh-huh. So it was basically just as a memoir or a digital diary, uh-huh. you could say. So all those videos are still saved with me. With the YouTube, I was online one time and I noticed that from back home, people just used live bait to fish. Mm-hmm. And here, you know, we have all sorts of artificial lures. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to start a channel that was going to be in my local language. And I wanted to introduce people back home with all the techniques and the lures we use here. Uh-huh. But people back home, it's more of a profession over there. Uh-huh. It's not as a sport. So they usually just throw a net, or rarely people would go spearfishing. And majority of the fishing is done through live bait. Uh-huh. So I did a few videos in Urdu, but then I shifted towards mm-hmm. English. Mm-hmm.
What's your video, or what's your YouTube channel?
It's called Pakistani Outdoorsman. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I have a few videos from my school time. I have a video over there when I went back home about 2 years ago, after 2 years, and I surprised my mom. Uh-huh. So just her reaction, where she couldn't recognize me for a solid 10 seconds. Uh-huh. but just, you know, just a few videos here and there. Majority of them obviously would be fishing. There aren't a lot, but uh-huh. because it's slowly being built, uh-huh. It's just a matter of working around the busy schedule, because I'm working full time and I'm a graduate student, so it's just a matter of when do I get a time to fish, to film the videos.
Yeah. Do you know of any other Pakistani fishermen in southeastern Kentucky?
No. No, I'm the only one. Kentucky is not a place where you would usually find people from my part of the world. Mm. However, there are a few people that I know of, and they're based out of Lexington, but they come over to Corbin in London and even Williamsburg to work. All of them are doctors. Not a single other profession you'd be able to find in that community. And then there's me who just does something other than in the medical industry.
So, like, what do you do for community?
For community?
Yeah, to find community and not feel isolated.
Oh, okay. So when I was in school, I volunteered in a lot of community service projects. I did every single extracurricular activity I could find. Mm-hmm. Other than projects, I was an orientation leader. So that also makes you a very known person inside the university. I led several community service projects outside of the school. And when I graduated, I was the second international student in the history of Cumberland's, which Cumberland's been there since 1888. So I was the second international student since 1888 to win the Francis Burger Award for leadership. So that for me was a really big accomplishment. And even when I started working full-time with Cumberland's and I had graduated, even then I would go to high schools and volunteer for community service projects. I would still hang out with my buddies who were still in school. And we would just hang out at my apartment or in their dorm.
So you've really integrated yourself into the community.
I mean, there was no other choice, you know.
And you married a Harlan County native.
Which the chances are really slim that anybody would come from 8,000 miles away and marry somebody from Harlan. And, you know, people in Harlan, they that was their first time seeing somebody from Pakistan. So it was a different experience, but you know, sometimes me and my wife joke to each other, what are the odds? Somebody from Pakistan comes over and picks out a Harlan girl and then they both get married. So definitely that's also, you know, you could say an adventure in life.
Yeah.
Another part of life.
Yeah. So if your wife's from Harlan, you're from Pakistan, how do you think, so being from Kentucky myself, generally I know Kentuckians, native Kentuckians don't like to leave.
Yeah.
Like, how do you think you and your wife will navigate the future and locations and where to live?
Well, the thing is, I'm just waiting for her undergraduate to end. I have talked to her about moving, moving possibly to Virginia, you know, Maryland. I've also thought about moving to DC, but she is very, she's very insisting about staying here within Kentucky. Yeah. So I've thought about moving to Richmond, but definitely Williamsburg is a good place to start. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice community, a very tightly knit community. Everybody knows everybody, and you get to know a lot of people in fairly a short amount of time. But it's just the first step, and you know, there are worlds other than Williamsburg, Kentucky. So there will be a time, I'm not sure when we will move out of Williamsburg, Kentucky.
Well, fishing, that's a good skill to have around here.
Definitely. I mean, it's a good good pastime. You know, you get to experience nature. And if you can experience nature and get food, then it's a win-win situation.
Cool. Thanks a lot for sharing. Can you just say your YouTube channel again?
It's called Pakistani Outdoorsman. So Pakistan and then an I in the end. So Pakistani Outdoorsman.
Cool. And the people that watch it, are your viewers more in Pakistan or the United States, or does it just depend on what language you've done it in?
There are more in U.S., but so the viewer percentage is more from U.S. I have a few viewers back home as well. And then some of them, I don't know who, but some of them, they also watch my channel in India.
Uh-huh. Thanks for coming over to our place.
I'm really happy that I got to be here. I got invited. It was a pleasure. And it's just really fun to spend time with friends.
That was Sarosh Haider, a friend who came to visit my family's place in Kentucky. And Cumberland College, he's from Williamsburg, and Cumberland College was the college he had referenced. Also in that clip, apparently, there were appearances by the pigs, the puppies, and the chickens, who knew that roosters crowed so much at like 5 p.m. I never heard them crowing when we were interviewing, but I sure heard it on the recorded clip. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I got another clip coming up, the last and final one for today's show. That's about my Greyhound overnight trip back up towards Massachusetts at the end of October. It's Fall Fun Drive on Valley Free Radio this week. So what's new in the studio is that we're building a 2-week archive system. It's an automated program that allegedly is simple for programmers and lets listeners tune into new and favorite shows anytime. I think what that means is, 2-week archives. I think that means you can listen to any show from the last 2 weeks. All right. Anyone who's listening knows, probably understands these tech things better than me, so I will not describe that more. Anyway, so fun drive. And we have a matching grant, dollar for dollar match, and a $10 per unique donor. That means if you donate $10 during this fund drive week, then the station will get another $10. That's 20. And I should have started out with another amount. $30. Okay. So if you donate $20, that means we get dollar for dollar match, $40 plus a $10 per unique donor. That's $50. So think $20 can be $50. Money, money. No, seriously though, Valley Free Radio needs some cash to stay doing what we do. Thanks to people who've donated. Thanks to Alex Jarrett for his donation earlier today. And I guess, go to valleyfreeradio.org/donate. Have your little plastic card in hand with those numbers on it, and you can donate just like that on the internet. Or you can call 585-1033. Talk to me in the studio. I can take your pledge. You can drop cash off at the studio. You can give me cash anytime you see me around town and let me know it's for Valley Free Radio. There's probably other ways to exchange money. But anyway, let me get to my last clip.
Wow. What a trip. It's 12:45 in the morning, and the date, Friday, October 28th, I'm returning back to Massachusetts, back to Florence. I'm actually walking up the bike path right now. I got off the train at 12:15 a.m. and went to get to unlock a Valley Bike Share bike to ride it back to Florence, and I don't know, I couldn't get it to unlock for some reason. I tried repeatedly. I didn't know if it was the Wi-Fi signal, if it was my phone, if it was Valley Bike Share. Then I went to the kiosk to try and... I saw a light, and I thought maybe there was a cyclist behind me. But it was just a very bright, bright street light. Not a street light, but those lights aren't street lights. They're spotlights, like night spotlights. Anyway, the one by the synagogue's really bright. Anyway, so I was trying to get a Valley bike unlocked, and so I went to the kiosk to try and pay cash for one instead of using the app on my device, because I left my fob with my housemate, so I don't have my fob. Anyway, so I was trying to pay cash, but then the kiosk said, "This kiosk is closed. 12:18 a.m. And I thought, oh, I wonder if there's a relationship between 12:18 a.m. and the kiosk being closed and my app not working. Maybe Valley Bike Share closes at midnight. Well, that was the conclusion I came to. So I decided, what a beautiful night for a walk back to Florence. It's like 3 miles. And after last night, which I spent on the Greyhound bus, like last night at this time, between like midnight and 3 a.m, I was going through East Tennessee, Southwest Virginia, between like Greenville, Bristol, Withill. And I was sitting behind this guy who was really agitated, fidgety, loud. He was just not super loud, but loud enough that people within 3 or 4 seats forward and back could probably hear him. Every other word was a cuss word. He was really angry, complaining about the driver driving too slow. At some point, he started talking with a couple people sitting across the aisle, one of whom was a light-skinned black man. This guy was a white guy, kind of burly, as I found out when I peeked over the edge of the seat a little bit later, just to see if I could take him or not if I had to. So yes, he was just like cussing, fussing, just angry, lots of hate stuff. It's turned to politics somehow, and he was blaming the Democrats for being so divisive and bringing race into everything, and he even talked about gender stuff and economy and immigration and the election, how it was rigged, and like all the right-wing conspiracy theory kind of things. And the man that he was talking to was like, started off like kind of agreeing with him on most of these things, and how like racism was just like, I'm not racist, my best friend, I have two good friends that are black, the white guy was saying, and just how people need to just pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and start quit whining about the past, with a lot more expletives and N-word and stuff thrown in. And at one point, like, so I was lying on my back, feet up in the air, in my fetal cockroach position, like I do on the bus or the train on these long trips to and from Kentucky, when I'm just trying to get some rest. And I had my hat pulled down over my eyes. I was trying to sleep, but I couldn't really sleep through all that. And I was halfway wondering if I should say anything. But the guy just seemed really angry, and I was like, I should be really strategic if I say anything. The white guy, talked about having a felony record or getting out of jail not too long ago. The black guy also was actually on his way from, he had just got out of 18 months in federal prison in Texarkana. He was heading back home to New York. So mostly the black guy was agreeing with him, and the white guy, I felt like, was feeling really heard. He also, I believe, was pretty high on crack, but he was feeling heard. And at one point, he was quiet for a minute. He was like showing the black guy something. And then I heard the white guy say something like, if I got caught with this, it'd be an automatic 8 years. Or 5 years, I don't know how many years, he said. And 5 more for each of the other 3. And I thought, did he just like flash a gun or something? And so then I kind of peeked. I like sat up a little bit and peeked through the crack between the seats to look at this guy. And it was like, how big is this guy? Could I take him if I needed to? Or tackle him if he started shooting or something? And that was when I saw how he was kind of burly. I'm like, oh, shoot. Oh, shoot. What have we gotten into? Because he just seemed so volatile. But I felt like the black guy, I was like, you know, the black guy, based on what I'd overheard about his story a little bit and just witnessing his personality, I'm like, you know what? I think he's got it under control. I'm kind of afraid that if I say something, it's just going to feel antagonistic to the white guy and, I don't know, maybe trigger him, literally, or something. And at one point, the white guy was talking about racism, and he mentioned George Floyd, and said something like, well, that officer, you know, he shouldn't have done that, but that wasn't racist. And the black guy was like, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you there. That's going a little too far. That's where I'll draw the line, or something like that. And then the white guy backed down a little bit. And luckily, the white guy decided to get off, I don't know, a stop or two earlier than his ticket. Like an hour or two earlier than his ticket. He said he had to meet one of his boys to get another hit of crack or something like that. But we were all pretty relieved. We were real relieved when that guy got off of that bus. And then I talked with the black guy afterwards. We were both like decompressing a little bit. When the white guy got off the bus in Whitfield, this woman got on and sat down in his seat. And so the black guy was talking with her, this white woman, who had also just gotten out of jail. And she was like really gregarious, like the black guy, and friendly and jolly. And we're all like, oh, it's really nice to have the change of energy sitting in that seat. And then that was when the black guy was like decompressing to her, and then I popped my head in. And that was when he said, yeah, that guy, he didn't just flash the gun. He pulled it out of his bag and he loaded it. He was like 100 rounds. He couldn't even fit them in. It was this Glock something or other. I was like, were there more in there? And he said, something was rattling around in there. There very well might have been three more in there. Tiki said, when he pulled that out, I was like, oh crap, I'm afraid I'm gonna die right now. That's enough to kill the whole bus. I just wanna get home and see my family. I've been locked up for 18 months. I'm just trying to get home to see my family. Anyway, so now I'm walking up the bike path at about 1 a.m. and just really appreciating the fallen leaves, the stars in the sky that I can see. There's Mars, the red one, and Orion dancing across the southern sky, Cassiopeia. And I think that's Jupiter that's so bright out there. Whenever I walk in the dark, I cuss and fuss. They're really bright lights that are blinding. And I can tell that with some of the newer construction, the city ordinance around light pollution is actually being followed. But then there's still all these bright. Well, you'll have like a new building with lots of the downward pointed shielded lights. And then an old spotlight nearby that just drowns everything in glaring light. So the other woman that I was later sitting by on the Greyhound bus last night, she said she had spent 7.5 months in the county jail in East Tennessee for standing up to a general. She was in the armed forces, I'm not sure which branch. In some way, she said, she stood up to a general and got accused of stalking him. And so then she got locked up. Her lawyer used insanity or something like that as her defense. And so then she had to go to the mental hospital. And that was where she said she met the love of her life, who she was now on the bus to Philadelphia to meet. That was last night she was on the bus to Philadelphia to meet. She'd gotten out of the 7.5 months and is going to Philadelphia. Apparently when she'd first gotten out of jail, she hadn't told her parents. She'd just gone directly to a shelter, and then her mom had filed a missing persons report. And then the police picked her up. She was walking on the side of the road. She had a whole story. She said, yeah, I'm pretty fearless. And Tiki, the black guy across the aisle, was like, so are you crazy? How do you know if you are or not? How do you know if you are or not? And when she said she met the love of her life in the mental institution, she said it was someone that she had met when she was like 5. And then later on in the conversation last night, she said, well, I'm actually a Freemason And I met him, I didn't meet him in person when I was five. I was like, so you met him like psychically or something, you mean? Or like when you met him in the mental hospital, like just recently, you just knew you had met somewhere in psychic life before. And she was like, yeah, basically. As Will Hall says, what does it mean to be called crazy? What does it mean to be crazy in a mad world? Something like that. That's from Madness Radio, Tuesdays at 4, here on Valley Free Radio. So the woman, Rochelle, she said she was on her way to Philadelphia, to West Philadelphia, to meet the love of her life, James Allen, who was a rapper. And Kiki said, why was he in the mental institution? And Rochelle said, I don't know. And Kiki said, maybe that's something you should find out. And Rochelle said, I don't know, that might just bias me. And Kiki said, yeah, but if you're leaving your home in Cookeville, Tennessee, to go, like, be with this guy who you consider the love of your life, and leave your children behind, maybe you should know a little bit more about him. And Rochelle was like, but I've known him for so long, I just know. I just have to follow my feeling. I've always been fearless. Earlier in October, when I was on my way to Kentucky, taking the Greyhound, or the bus, from the Greyhound station in Chicago, heading south, I ended up sitting next to a guy in the station as we were waiting for this late night bus, and talking it up. He was super friendly. He was this black guy from Indianapolis. Well, no, he said he was from the Philippines. And he moved there maybe a year ago or so. And his wife, his wife is from the Philippines, but he was in the Midwest going back to Indianapolis, where he had a house and a boat and property and stuff, and he was finalizing the sale of all those things and getting rid of all of his worldly belongings in the United States to live in with his wife in the Filipino paradise he had found. But that relationship sounded kind of new as well. And I just wondered what would happen when the honeymoon was over and he didn't have any of his U.S. properties or belongings. Who am I to talk about relationships? Easy for me. Who's not, like, in any kind of intimate one like that, or madly in love one like that. And now, after all that yakka 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 about my travels, I'm almost back home on the bike path to Florence. I've been gone for three weeks. Sometimes when I'm gone for like more than like 3 weeks or more, I'm just like, is this my home? Northampton, Florence? Do I live here? Do I know anybody here? What is this place? And then I think about, I remember, it all comes back to me. My friends and chosen family and loved ones here, and the biking life, my tree friends and animal friends. I do love it here and appreciate so much the love that others show me here. Yes, I really, really do. Okay, here's my little ditty for that one. If you want folks to love you, all you gotta do is love them, love them, love them, and they will love you too. So love me, love me, love me, love me all day long, and I will love you, love you, I'll love you with a song. Maybe I should have sung that to the guy on crack with the guns.
I've been thinking lately about the people I meet, the car wash on the corner and the holder in the street, the way my ankles hurt with shoes on my feet. I'm wondering if I'm gonna see tomorrow. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us and we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. Then we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. I was in the army, but I never dug a trench. Used to bust my knuckles on a monkey wrench. I go to town and drink, give the girls a pinch. I don't think they ever even noticed me. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us and we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. And we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. Fish ain't a whistle, whistle and fish. Eat everything that they put on your dish. When we get through, we'll make a big wish that we never have to do this again, again, again. On my very first job, I said thank you and please. They made me scrub a parking lot down on my knees. Then I got fired for being scared of bees. They only give me 50 cents an hour. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. And we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. Fish and a whistle and fish. Eat everything that they put on the dish. When we get through, we'll make a big wish that we never have to do this again, again, again. Oh, Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us and we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. And we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. We'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. We'll whistle and go fishing in heaven.
Been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Thanks for tuning in today. Democracy Now! Is up at 5 o'clock, and you can hear archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. It's Fun Drive Week, so feel free to donate to the radio station, and your donation will be matched and added to dollar for dollar plus an extra $10 for any unique donation. Call now 585-1033 or go online at valleyfreeradio.org.
You are listening to Valley Free Radio, WXOJ, LP 103.3 FM, Northampton.